All right. We are good to go. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday, October 27th meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. Let me get a roll call, please. Mary.
Yes. Director Replogle. Here. Vice President White.
Here.
President Austin.
Here.
Thank you. And Director Gibson and via absence as of now.
As of now. Okay, if you'll please join me with the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and the Republic, which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, very good. Thank you very much. That'll bring us to public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Public comment period provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters within the jurisdiction and is limited to 3 minutes. So if Carrie could let us know if we have any. Yes, Karen.
You forgot the agenda review, Madam President.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's do agenda review first. Is there anything on the agenda anyone wants to change or move or anything? Everybody okay with the
I make a motion we approve the agenda as presented.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded, all in favor?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Now let's move on to public comment, please.
Yes, and just to remind the public, please hit *9 if you're on the phone. And if you're on your computer or tablet, please hit the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen. And as of now, I have one hand raised and I'm gonna unmute the speaker with the last four digits, 8262.
Good evening, Julie Tacker. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, good evening. I had some comments. I understand that there was a meeting of VACO. I forget what that acronym means. It's the other advisory committee to the Board of Supervisors. And three of your board members were there and participated in a Five Cities Fire Authority agenda item. I understand that, and this has me concerned. I know you want to pass a fire tax. You all agreed in that meeting that that's the direction you each want to go, and that's fine. But please don't do it by fear-mongering the public of Oceano. And what I'm speaking about is President Austin gave some comments at that meeting where she said that Los Osos, when they went to Cal Fire, lost their fire station and that the CSD now meets in a strip mall. That is factually incorrect. The fire station belongs to the Los Osos Community Services District, as does all the equipment and the fire trucks. We just bought a $750,000 fire truck, paid cash for it. We own the equipment and the building. The contract is for employees, the firefighters, engineers, etc. That is what that contract is for. It's not about losing our fire station. We didn't lose our fire station. It's our building. When it needs a paint job, that goes in the budget of CSD. When it needs a new roof, those bids go to the CSD, and they determine who gets hired to do that. So that is not true. What's also not true is that they now meet or now have an office in the strip mall. They've always had an office in the strip mall. They now meet in the strip mall. They rented extra space so they could have their own boardroom because they were renting the community center. And to reduce costs, they brought it in-house by enlarging their office space, and now they have a boardroom. So I don't know where she got her information, but fact check it before you throw that information out there like somehow what happened to, what may happen to you is what happened to us, because that is not what happened at all. So I'd appreciate if you're going to tell stories and comparisons to the communities, that you do it factually.
Thank you.
That's all. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Okay. Is there any other comment?
And with that, that was the only hand I had raised.
Okay. All right. Now we will move on to our board of directors, our staff reports, actually. We'll move on to our, is Commander Jay Wells here tonight from the Sheriff's Office?
I believe Sergeant Nichols is going to take Commander Wells' place tonight.
Okay. Thank you.
And Sergeant Nichols, if you hit star 6 on your end.
Perfect. Thank you. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready for a report from me, or am I interrupting at a bad time?
No, this is perfect. Thank you.
Okay. My apologies. I hadn't gone through the 10,001 steps to get on the telephone here with you folks tonight before, so forgive me. So my name is Jeff Nichols. I'm a sergeant here at South Station and know most of you. And this is my third time down here assigned to South Station. So thank you for having me tonight. So I'm going to give you some brief statistics so you kind of generally know what's going on in the area. And then we'll talk specifically about a couple other things. And I'd be happy to answer any questions when we're done. So in the month of September, we had 746 calls for service just in the greater Oceano area. We had 213 self-initiated contacts. Those might include probation contacts, traffic stops, things of that nature. We generated 117 reports. Out of all those contacts and calls for service. So roughly 10% of the either calls for service or self-initiated contacts resulted in a report. generally speaking, most of the reports have included thefts, simple assaults, forgeries, identity theft, and things of that nature. Some of the other things we typically respond to is suspected child abuse reports that we have to respond to and document. I can't think of any of which in September that were actually of any great significance. And so nothing to pass on there. I know that. Area of great concern has been some of the unhoused that we have around town. We've made significant strides in addressing that. Most of you should be aware. If you're not, we have our safe space, safe parking area up on Kansas Avenue near Sheriff's Office headquarters. That area, I think, initially could accommodate up to about 30 vehicles, and it's subsequently been expanded and basically doubled in size. The sheriff's office is not in charge of it. The county as a whole is. I think Public Works has a hand in it. They have private security on hand. It just happens to be down the street from the sheriff's office headquarters. But currently, I think it's about 50% capacity. I think there's about 30 vehicles there. So as most of you know, the Boise decision doesn't allow for us to remove people from public lands if they have no place to stay. And that has been one of the major sticking points on trying to alleviate the multiple people living on Pier Avenue and 17th Street, primarily in Oceano. Pier Avenue has been cleaned of any parked vehicles, motorhomes, and so forth now for some time. 17th Street, I'm happy to inform you that we are currently in the process of abating that. I drove by there just a couple hours ago, and we're down from 5 to 2 motorhomes on 17th Street. Public Works is involved with abating that area of 17th Street. And what we've been able to do, because we have the safe space, safe parking on Kansas Avenue, is anybody that doesn't have the means to get their either travel trailer or motorhome up to Kansas Avenue, the county general fund is paying to tow those vehicles up there where they have a place that they can stay. So that has enabled us to remove some of the RVs from town that otherwise couldn't move or didn't have the means to get themselves up there themselves. So that is currently underway. We're making great strides on that. Some of you may have noticed there's been some graffiti around town in the last few days. It seems that Napomo and Oceano rivals are tagging each other's respective areas. We had some tagging in Napomo and Napomo High School, and then we had some tagging here in Oceano from Napomo affiliated folks. And our gang task force is currently investigating that. I know that they're making some pretty good progress on that. So ultimately, I think we'll be able to determine who was responsible and ultimately prosecute those involved. We don't have any reason to believe there's any spike in gang violence, so to speak. This is the first time that we've seen any of this kind of tit for tat tagging retaliation in a number of years that's gone on. So I don't know what's precipitated that, but our gang task force is currently involved in taking a look at that. of a more significant note, we did have two stabbings in Oceano, one in the early morning hours on Sunday, and then one Monday evening. The one on Sunday, as an adult victim, sustained some pretty significant injury, who was subsequently transported to Marion Hospital. We don't believe that that incident has any nexus to any kind of gang activity, and that it was basically kind of quasi-domestic in nature. That case is currently under investigation by our detective bureau. the other one happened Monday night, and we're still trying to determine what the motivation for that attack was. The victim is a 16-year-old male, and that victim is also was initially transported to Royal Granny Hospital and subsequently transferred to Marion Hospital. Our gang task force and detective bureau are working on that case as well. The first one on Sunday morning, certainly I can say with a pretty high degree of confidence that it was an isolated incident. The second one on Monday evening, we're not quite ready to state whether or not that was an isolated incident or it has some greater significance. So we hope to have made some headway in the coming days and weeks ahead. So that is a snapshot of the greater Oceano area, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that anybody may have.
Okay, is there any questions for Sergeant Nichols?
Yeah, I just had a question. The other night I noticed there was at least three campers camping on Highway 1 or Cienega or whatever you want to call it, down by the planetarium, down by the antique Victorian house on the road. And I would assume that's CHP, not you.
That is CHP, but we do respond also because sometimes it's better for us to respond initially because there's probably a quicker response if we go. We do get calls on those RVs. And the problem being, they can park there as long as they move it every 3 days. And as long as we can prove that they're not sleeping in there overnight. So it is primarily CHP from a parking standpoint, or a vehicle being left standing still for more than 72 hours. So that is definitely a CHP issue. But anybody that's using it as a dwelling or camping or sleeping in there falls squarely in our lap. And that's why we always try to respond when we can, when those calls come in, so we can determine whether or not somebody is in fact sleeping in there. And if we get to a point to where we can positively identify that somebody's sleeping in there, then we will take the appropriate steps, offer them a solution for safe parking up at Kansas Avenue, or take some law enforcement action if they continue to do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sergeant Nichols, I just had a question on, thank you. We've all noticed that there's been activity on 17th Street, but I think it looks like two of the motorhomes have moved over onto Beach Street, like right across from the shopping center there from Efren's. So now do you have to wait 72 hours to ask them to move? They are living in there.
If we can determine that they were living in there, then we should be able to take some law enforcement action. Now, the county was trying to come up with an ordinance. I don't know what the status of that ordinance is. We do recognize that there is a camping ordinance already in Oceano, but I think they were trying to come up with another ordinance that was a little more specific to either, you know, parking or sleeping, that was a little broader, that kind of encompasses any evidence that somebody is living in there versus having to prove that somebody is actually sleeping in there. Because, you know, we go up to a motorhome and we knock on the door and nobody answers and we can't see inside, we can't determine whether or not somebody's actually sleeping. I think the new ordinance that they were crafting, and I don't know what the status of that is, because unfortunately Commander Wells, for our purposes here tonight, unfortunately Commander Wells has been kind of the person that's been dealing with the county and our chief deputies on that whole issue and crafting the new ordinance. So I don't know what the status of that is, unfortunately, but we are going to stay on it. We're committed to it. We've just assigned a new deputy to kind of take over as liaison at the station for the unsheltered people in the community. Because the person we had in charge before has since moved on. So we're bringing another person up to speed now. And just so everyone knows, we're fully committed here at South Station to trying to eliminate the problems associated with this. And I don't think that anyone has any more frustration than we do on our hands being tied and trying to come up with creative solutions to, you know, get these people off the streets, so to speak, or to a place that's not impacting the community in a negative way. And so we're continued to be full steam ahead on this, and we hope to have ultimately the situation resolved. Railroad's been great. We've got railroad cleaned up. We got pier cleaned up. 17's getting cleaned up, and if they move somewhere else, then we're going to jump on them there. So that's our plan.
I think think there's a couple new ones came in today to Pier Avenue, I noticed. So
probably- yeah, and being a destination community, it's hard when motorhomes and travel trailers show up, right? Because everybody utilizes the beach and so it makes it a little difficult, but we are going to stay on top of it.
I know. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate all you guys are doing on that.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah. Also, North Beach Campground is closed because of the.
I noticed that.
That's another hardship for people, I think.
Yeah, I believe so. Well, in the county, the state park, and/or the county sites, I don't think you can stay there for more than 30 days at a time in a calendar year. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken. So
yeah.
While it's a temporary respite for some, ultimately there's a time limit there.
And they have to pay. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Does anybody else have any questions? If not, then I'll probably disconnect.
All right. Well, thank you for your report.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Good night. That'll bring us now to, is Chief Lieberman here tonight?
He is not.
Okay, then we're with our operations of utility system management.
Good evening, board. Tony Maricino, utility systems manager. So Lopez is at 30.1% full, which is 14,854 acre feet. We had zero sewer system overflows in September. We are currently taking state water, which was delivered just over 43 acre feet. We are not taking any Lopez, and we had pumped just over 18 acre feet. So our total deliveries for the water year is just over 346 acre feet. And total pumping since we started in July was just over 44 acre feet. Continue to do our daily rounds and weekly and samples. We had 21 work orders, 13 USAs, 11 customer service calls. We had 3 after hours call outs. One was for a service line break on Warner Street. The other call out was a customer had to make some repairs and get his water turned back on after hours. And the last one, there was a leak, but it was on the customer's side. We had to replace a few air vacs in the water system. We had abandoned an old service line. We're really continuing to sewer jet, get that completed. We had a fire flow for 2431R. We're continuing to do trash pickups for the month of September for 311 tickets. We had 7 of them. We had finished our common codes. We did our first of the month equipment startups. Doug is still currently training to get his class A half a day. Every day for 4 hours. We had a service line break at 2300 Cienega that we had made a repair, backfilled, and had to pave. Did a fire flow for the state parks on Pier. We had a sewer backup on the lateral on Tamara due to root intrusion. And we had a hard time getting through it with our rotter, so we had to get somebody else out there with a bigger rotter. And we also had to take apart the clean out and replace it with a new clean out. Due to the severe root intrusion. The old fire station, the drain got clogged back there and we had to rotter it when the first rains came. Our 20 horsepower booster is currently getting installed at this time. And as you know, with the graffiti at the old fire station, we repainted over all the graffiti there. And we had a service truck we had to take in for repairs. Any questions?
Great, thank you, Tony. Is there any questions?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Then that brings us now to our general manager, Mr. Clemens.
Thank you. I'll be fairly brief since I was on vacation. But we got some good news regarding the water arrearage program through the state. They informed everyone that they're going to fully fund the water arrearages, and we had submitted $29,000 for our customers. So that's good news for those customers that were having difficulty paying their bills during the pandemic. And what that means is because they have $950 million in this program, only $333 million were applied for. So they've got another $600 million. And so that means the next step is going to be wastewater charges. So those that were delinquent on wastewater. So we'll again submit complete amount for those that were past due during the pandemic. So good news for our customers that are having difficulty. We continue to waive late fees as payments are made. And the water shutoff moratorium was extended to December 31st by a bill that the governor signed. So we still are unable to shut off water service for non-payment. Just a preview for our next meeting should be fairly robust. We have several items that are dealing with SB 1383 and solid waste that we're going to be bringing to your board, which includes our solid waste ordinance. We're going to introduce a new ordinance. We have an amendment to the MOA with IWMA. We have a recycled content paper product purchasing policy that we need to bring to your board. So we'll be discussing that next meeting. And also we're going to bring you options for the special tax for fire so that you can give staff direction on whether you want to stick with the parcel tax or move to a per square footage charge. So that'll be on our next agenda. And with that, that concludes my comments.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Clemens from anyone? Okay. Well, thank you very much. Look forward to our next meeting. That moves us to Board of Directors outside committee reports. So Director V and Gibson are not here. Vice President White, do you have a report?
Yes, the Five Cities Fire Authority Board of Directors met on Friday the 15th in a regular meeting that lasted about 20 minutes. We did some extremely routine stuff like approving some budgets and that kind of stuff. There was no major things, and we will not be meeting in November or December unless there would be some major issues. The fire chief is going to be away for a temporary time on a medical, and our December meeting would be just right before Christmas. And so we just, unless there's something major, and if there's something major, we'll call an emergency meeting. So everything seems to be rolling pretty good. We're working around some of the brownouts with Oceano, and things are going very good, but we're very, very busy, especially in the afternoons. In the afternoons and the early evening, it's one medical after another medical after a traffic accident after another medical after another medical. And it would be interesting to see later on the statistics. There is a lot of traffic crashes. I don't know what people are doing, but almost every afternoon, there is a traffic collision of some kind on Highway 101 between Avila and Pismo, and then another one somewhere along the line at 4th Street or Oak Park in that area. And I would encourage people to slow down, just remind everybody we're all out there together and there's a lot of us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have no reports, Director Repogo. You have?
Yes, I attended the IWMA meeting on October 13th. The board approved proposed amendments to the JPA and the MOU to reflect the county withdrawal. They discussed forming a subcommittee on further JPA amendments, and Robert Enns, who represents the special districts, said that he will work with staff on a process for two-way communication with the district. So that would be a good step forward if that actually gets going.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And then if I do have a question for Mr. Clemens, were you planning on canceling the November 24th meeting? Because I am unable to attend the meeting on November 10th.
Yes. So,
don't we usually from, is that the date?
Usually the second meeting in November and the second meeting in December is canceled. I had planned to do the same thing this year. However, there is so much work related to solid waste. We may need to have one of those meetings, but I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
But we want our next meeting in November, in 2 weeks, right?
Yes, November 10th is our next meeting. And it's going to have a fairly, certainly, I think so. If you're unable to go to the November 10th meeting, I was planning on having the fire tax discussion. Technically, I could push that to December if that would be better. Or
didn't she say the 24th, Cynthia? Or was it the 24th?
Well, she's not going to be here.
I can't attend on the 10th. I was asking if the...
Oh, the 10th. I thought you were asking about the 24th.
Canceled. Yeah, if that doesn't impact the schedule too much, that would be good. But otherwise, you all can carry on without me. I think you know my...
If not, I could... Yeah, if not, I could discuss with you individually the options that we came up with and see which one you either prefer or don't prefer.
Okay, thank you.
I would hope to get your input on that whole issue, please.
Okay.
I'd like to give it.
Okay, all right, very good, thank you. That makes us, it moves us to public comment on the staff reports and the special presentations from staff. Board of Directors presentations. Is there any public comment?
And yes, just to make a note, Director Villa said she won't be able to make it. I just wanted to let you guys know. Okay. And yes, just to remind the public, please hit *9 on the phone. And if you're on your computer or tablet, please hit the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
Okay, thank you. That brings us to our consent agenda. So our item 7A, B, C, D, and E. Is there anything anyone wants to pull off to discuss separately on the consent agenda? Nothing, Karen? Nothing?
I have nothing. I've read it all over in it.
Right. Is there any discussion or any comments on the consent agenda? None? Okay, I'll open it for public comment then on the consent agenda.
And yes, just to remind the public again, *9 on the phone and the raise hand button on your screen or tablet or on your computer or tablet at the bottom of your screen. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
Okay, and then I'll bring it back to the board. Can we get a motion on the consent agenda?
I so move.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Plogle?
Yes.
And President Austin?
Yes. All right. We'll move on now to our business items. Item 8A, consideration and approval of the alternate representative of the Integrated Waste Management Authority candidate vote submittal of vote.
Yes. So just brief introduction on this item. The local chapter of CSDA is facilitating this vote to fill the vacant alternate position on the IWMA board. There was two nominations. You have their letters of interest, and your board can either vote for one of them or not, it's up to you, and direct staff to submit any votes that you make.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Clemens. Is there any Director Rapogo or Vice President White, do you have any preference or any comments on this?
Neither of these candidates seem to have any background or expertise in solid waste, and neither appear to have been paying any attention to the issues facing the IWMA. So I don't believe either one deserves this board's support.
Okay, how about you, President?
I would agree with Ms. Rapogo. Okay. Name I kill.
All right, then let's open it up to public comment.
And to remind the public, please hit star 9 if you're on the phone. And then if you're on your computer or tablet, please hit the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
All right. You want to bring it back for, we vote on this? You want to bring it back for a vote then?
Yeah, I make a motion. We don't vote for either, or we don't vote.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. May I do a roll call, please?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Plogle?
Yes.
And President Austin?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to item 8B, review of the district's budget status as of September 30th, 2021, and approve a $7,500 budget adjustment from general fund reserves.
Thank you, President Austin. So I just have a really brief presentation, so I'm going to share my screen very quickly.
Okay.
Share screen. Share. All right, you guys seeing my screen there?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, so in item 8B, we have the first quarter budget review for you today, and I'm going to start with the administration front. So this is where property taxes are budgeted, and it appears to be very low as normal. And this is because every year the county collects about 60% of property taxes in December and the rest in April. So revenues will catch up next quarter. And expenditures in the administration fund are tracking to be much less than budgeted. And you can see in the line items in your budget worksheets in your packet that some expenditures are front-loaded at the beginning of each year, which we go over, and those are the CalPERS unfunded accrued liabilities for employees that are part of the Public Employee Pension Reform Act, so basically anyone before 2014. And then we also have the CalPERS UAL prepayment project debt funding. So the refinancing we did in June for the classic and safety plans, those are paid in the water and wastewater funds. And they're also front loaded and paid in August, and then the second payment in February of each year. The local agency formation commission expense is front loaded. The liability insurance for the district, the boot allowance to the utility staff members, and our annual software maintenance. And then another cost that's running high in the administration fund but is not front loaded is the notices line item. And this is from the cost related to our fireworks banners that were posted in July to notify the public of the district's new firework ordinance and what had changed. So those costs will level out in the following quarters. So next, not going to the next one. Sorry about this. All right. Next, we have the fire fund. So the fire fund is tracking under budget, as you can see in the first quarter, but we do have a proposed budget adjustment in the fire fund for the cost associated with the parcel tax modeling services provided by NBS District Consulting Group. So they will be providing the information regarding the difference between a flat special tax versus a special tax based on square footage for the ballot measure in March 2022. So that is what that's proposed for.
Isn't it in June, not March?
Will or Jeff?
Yes. Yes. So the primary next year is June.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Then the lighting fund. So the overall expenditures in the lighting fund are running under budget, as you can see. Next is the facilities fund. Revenues and expenditures are both tracking. Expenditures are tracking lower than expected, just at 17% instead of the 25 we would expect. And then that moves us to the water fund. So as usual for the first quarter, two of the six billing periods have been processed. And so as a result, the district has recognized 33% of our budgeted revenues. And so that's what we expect each year. And seasonally, we always do expect July and summer, or excuse me, in September billing periods to be higher than the winter ones coming up. And with that said, you can see a more in-depth analysis of our water revenues on the last page of your packet, so page 62, where there's a comparison between 2016 to this current year that we keep updating each year. So we also have expenditures in the water fund that are front-loaded, just like in the administrative fund. Those are the state water and Lopez water expenditures. Also our memberships, that's from the Cal Rural Water Association membership we hold. And then also in permits, and that's from the annual encroachment permit we hold with the county. We also have other line items in the water fund that seem to be running higher, but we have faith they will definitely even out in the rest of the quarters. One of those is the meter budget. That's because each year utility staff go and replace old meters at the beginning of each fiscal year. Also, classes and seminars are running high, both in the water and wastewater funds, since our newest utility system operator has started obtaining their Class A license in a class each day. And so that cost was incurred in the first quarter. And also claims and settlements are running high since a hydrant was hit in the first quarter and then paid in the second quarter. So you will see the revenues from that hydrant getting hit in the second quarter budget review. Then we have the wastewater fund, which is very similar to the water fund with the two of the six billing cycles being processed and expenditures are tracking under budget. And then lastly, we have the garbage fund. Revenues are running a little lower, but no budget adjustment at this time. And then expenditures are coming under budget. And most of the savings are in supplies and services and salaries. So with that, I will stop sharing my screen. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, are there any questions? Okay, no questions, Carrie.
And with this, there was a budget adjustment in the recommendation, so it's not receive and file this time.
Okay. And I guess I will make a motion to.
Why don't you
public comment?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carrie. We'll open this to public comment now.
And with that, if you could please hit star 9 if you're on the phone and then hit the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen if you're on a computer or tablet. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
Okay, now I'm ready for a motion.
I make a motion we approve a $7,500 budget adjustment from general fund reserves. Second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. Can I get a roll call, please?
Yes, Vice President White.
Yes.
Director Replogle.
Yes.
And President Austin.
Yes. Okay, that brings us now to there are no hearing items. Do we have any written or late received communications? No. Nope. Future agenda items. Any comments on future agenda items? Nope. Future hearing, closed session. I guess with everything's nothing more to add, anything else anyone wants to say?
Well, I do have a question back on the water. Mm-hmm. How we are doing in generating the extra revenue we need for the water infrastructure. How is that coming along, or is that a part of that, or is it somewhere I just didn't know where to look?
No, that's all part of our rates. And as you can see, they're tracking pretty much just as we had planned. So all that revenue for the infrastructure improvements is included in there.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. I just...
Okay, nothing further. I'll have a motion to adjourn.
I shall move.
Second.
All right. All in favor? Okay, with that, we'll adjourn. I just want to thank everyone being here tonight.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.